This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. What's on your mind? The sound you're hearing now, other than the music, is the address from North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. In other words, it's not happening just yet. But more What's in Your Mind brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Council, North Dakota's oil and natural gas supply, helping meet America's demand. We're committed to using our talent and resources wisely to build a strong, sustainable future for our family, friends, and neighbors. We want to prove that commerce and communities can work together for the good of all. It's all happening now with Energy of North Dakota. Learn more at energyofnorthdakota.com. 7 after the hour, so we'll join the governor when that happens. Ron Ness is in for Scott Hennon, who conveniently timed his D.C. trip for the event that is going on right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, thank you, Todd. And, you know, the governor coming into the House chamber is quite a process and event, and I'm sure it takes a few minutes to escort him and all of the elected statewide officials in, the Supreme Court justices, and it's kind of a fun process.
Or maybe he's just reading it one more time, and he's got a typo in there.
Yeah,
he's
trying to figure out what he meant to say. Between that going on this morning and we're watching on the TV. And
imagine being one of the people who bought the D.C. trip months ago. And then all of a sudden, whoa, this is going on.
This is one thing our government and our country does right, is obviously recognize and acknowledge the importance of our former presidents and champions of our country like this. This is quite the process truly honorable and respectful burial for President Bush. So a couple of things I think that everybody's going to be looking for in the governor's address today. Of course, through the downturn in the oil industry in 2014 to 2017, Governor Dalrymple and the legislature tapped almost all of the reserve funds. So this governor's got to figure out how do you balance a budget, but yet restore some of those funds into those reserve funds and in the coffers. So we've got a rainy day fund. We were somewhere between $800 million and $1 billion of funds that were tapped into some of the legacy fund interest for the next upcoming biennium to balance the budget last time. So he's got a difficult task of restoring some of those funds and raises for state employees and those things and some of those benefits, but yet adding to the state's reserves. Meanwhile, growing the state's economy somehow and coming up with some of his initiatives. And, he's talked a lot about, investments into IT and that whole cyber world is a huge expensive cost, but there's also a great risk that comes with that I think he's going to have to make and figuring out how we grow our workforce and ensure that we have enough workers so we can attract new businesses to North Dakota. I think that's something that many people are going to be looking for. And I don't probably think there's any silver bullet, but kind of goes back to good old-fashioned, education and ensuring that all these new schools that are being built and growing, and we got a lot of new seniors coming out of school and giving those kids
and some skills. Of the biggest kindergarten classes we've ever seen. So, I mean, it's
very big
growth in some places, just mind-boggling.
Yeah, the kindergarten class in Watford City is like 318 kids. The high school alone has over 1,850 kids in it, and that town in 2009 had 1,250 people in it. But it's no different in West Fargo, and so
it's a good problem to have. There are places in the world that wish they could have that problem, but at the same time, wow.
You know, one of the discussions we were having the other day was about higher education. There's a lot of discussion that the governor's been having about how reinventing higher ed, but really, how do you ensure that our kids are coming out the best of the best, and that we're producing the best doctors at UND and the best lawyers and the best technology folks coming out of Bismarck State College, and can you invest in educators rather than in buildings, or what's that look like going forward? Because we got all these kids coming out of North Dakota schools. Let's make them the best and the brightest. So they can choose what they want to do, and they certainly have a lot of options now in North Dakota that many of us didn't have. So there's some very interesting things that are going to be debated over this legislative session, not to mention a lot of the social issues. And what do you do with marijuana now, Todd? It's probably going to be right back on the ballot. And I think there are going to be some proposals.
That goes without saying. That is coming back. It's going to keep coming back every election until it's passed. If it takes 2 years or 20 or 200, I mean, I'm not saying whether it is a majority or not, but there is a sizable enough amount of people that want it passed that it will keep coming up.
And the folks that fund the opposition to those ballot measures, get tired of funding opposition to those measures after a while. So I think that's a really challenging issue for policymakers, and really the state is, do you do it right legislatively, or do you get it forced upon you in a ballot measure, which we know these ballot measures are not perfect. They are traditionally very flawed, and even as we saw with the recreational marijuana, the legislature took their time. They did it right, and I think now we have a law going forward on recreational marijuana that checks all the boxes, but if we do these things by the ballot box, you're going to get an imperfect system. Then you got to deal with what you got. So, lots of big challenges going forward for this legislature, and not to mention trying to figure out what's the right formula for spending money and saving money out of the legacy fund. I think that's really truly this session going to be one of the great debates. So,
oh, no doubt.
Any news on the governor's address over there, Todd?
Well, they do have a camera shot up of where he'll be doing the address from, and somebody keeps scooting a chair back and forth. I can't.
That
quite
doesn't
tell
make
that.
For real good radio, by the way.
It doesn't. So basically, right now there's a camera looking at a mic and a chair. So you're now, in case you're wondering, hey, wait a minute, where's the governor's address? Yeah, we're waiting to.
I was really interested to.
We were waiting.
I think we're live with Governor Doug Burgum. Almost.
Well, we were.
We did have a question come in on
cut the mic
what is Operation Prairie Dog?
Yeah. What is
Operation Prairie Dog? Is a bill that's going to be before the legislature to really distribute and share the oil and gas tax revenue statewide and not just within the oil counties. Currently, that money all comes to the legislature. The counties, cities, and townships, and tribe get a share, but this would make a permanent distribution system. So,
the Honorable Brent Sanford, Lieutenant Governor, who will preside over the joint session, Mr. President.
John, I think we'll just go live to this and listen to the governor's address until the break.
We're about to hear.
Yeah, we got about 6 minutes before the break.
So Lieutenant Governor Sanford and then Governor Doug Burgum, obviously shortly.
Joint session will come to order. Representative Lauzer.
Mr. President, I move that a committee of four be appointed to escort the Honorable Doug Burgum, Governor, to the rostrum.
Oh, that's right. We got to go through that whole procedural thing first.
I thought he was on the
podium. Anyway, so Operation Prairie Dog.
Well, it should be a consistent funding source for communities across the state to invest in the infrastructure in their communities, and they would be getting regular oil and tax distributions from the state treasurer and the tax commissioner. So I suspect that's going to have a lot of anytime you're doling out money to counties and cities and townships across the state, I suspect there's going to be widespread support for that. But of course, it comes at a cost of what else doesn't get funded when you do that. So that will be an interesting discussion topic. And I think we'll probably have try and get Representative Mike Nathy on Scott next week to go through that in detail. I believe he's going to be the prime sponsor, and so it's going to be certainly one of the big issues coming forth.
Is the governor going to remember that you can't wear denim on the Senate floor? Remember that came up?
Yes, and I believe. I think he got booted off the Senate floor because he didn't have Bluetooth.
And I think after hours, Aaron Oban had come up on the Senate floor, and there was some, I don't remember the whole thing. But so, yeah, I mean, and he's governor, for crying out loud. Is it time to do away with that? I realize there's decorum, but this is North Dakota, and it's routine for people to show up in like a sport coat and presentable-looking denim. I mean, yeah, let's not do the
I'm not with you on that one.
You're not with me on that one?
Not on the Senate floor.
I don't even own any denim.
In the Capitol, behind the rail, but on the Senate floor is much like
you gotta
the respect the system and follow the rules. Those rules have been in place for a long time.
He's pointing to the coverage of the procedural thing going on right now with President George H.W. Bush and his memorial. I think at a funeral, it's a little different than when you're doing some work on the Senate floor.
Disagree.
I say we put them all in overalls and be done with it, just like we might
respect
on the farm.
Respect the process, follow the rules, and we'll all be fine. So wear what you want
elsewhere. You don't show up in your Van Halen shirt or whatever. But
to be here today to present the executive budget for the 2019 and 2021 biennium. Let me begin by welcoming the members of the 66th Legislative Assembly, the Justice of the Supreme Court, Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford, elected officials, cabinet leaders, state team members, First Lady Catherine Helgus Brigham, and fellow North Dakotans. As we speak...
Okay, he'll be going through some stuff. We'll join him once again in just a few. Hang on.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Levi Taylor of Ypsilanti. With the combination of existing stressors in our industry right now, the pileup of stressors can leave farmers feeling powerless and frustrated. Dr. Sean Brotherson, NDSU Extension Family Specialist, explains that talking with others, taking time to assess options, and developing proactive steps to pursue are valuable in being able to regain a sense of control when facing challenges. Stress signals are warning signals, like the yellow light flashing on the dashboard, that indicates the need to slow down and focus on wellness. This is an important time to take care of oneself, family members, fellow farm workers, and neighbors. Reach out to talk about how you are feeling. Talk to your primary care doctor and local counselor to assess your physical and mental health. Call 211 for listening support, suicidal thoughts, mental health issues, crisis, and referral.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Agriculture and ethanol are one. How do we know? We talk to North Dakota farmers, like Michael Howell from Castleton. How much North Dakota corn goes to ethanol?
Well, the guys that are growing corn in our area, it can be as much as 50-60%. Again, they like having that extra market. Castleton's a growing community. Tharaldson Ethanol Plant's one of the largest taxpayers in Cass County. And then you've got the city tax, too, there for Castleton. It's helped build brand new schools, increased home development throughout the town.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and they benefit small town North Dakota.
It's just a really good economic multiplier for these rural communities, and not just Castleton. Of the four other ethanol plants, they're all located in small towns. Those towns and communities are feeling the increased tax revenue from having those industries.
Keep listening for more conversations with North Dakota farmers about ethanol and agriculture. They're one. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
North Dakota's GDP returned to growth. The collapse of commodity prices in both energy and agriculture last biennium meant making hard choices. Working together with the legislature, we reduced the general fund budget by an unprecedented $1.7 billion. This did not come easily. Team members absorbed the work of others and went without pay increases. Programs ran lean, and we got by
using one-time funding sources and transfers to balance our revenues and expenses. We recognize that volatility creates challenges for our budget. Typically, over 40% of the general fund revenue comes from sales taxes. When commodity markets dropped, we found that economic activity that drives sales tax revenue also dropped, which reinforces the need for us to budget conservatively. Thankfully, prior legislative bodies had the foresight to set aside substantial rainy day savings to help us through periods of extreme volatility in our tax revenues. The Budget Stabilization Fund was most recently utilized in the 2015-2017 biennium, and it was nearly drained by the beginning of the current biennium. This executive budget is more transparent in the use of oil revenues to fund ongoing expenses. In the past, oil-derived revenue has been transferred into the general fund without fully recognizing its source. Bypassing these transfers will provide a clearer picture. We propose using $1 billion in oil tax revenue to directly support general fund expenditures. This represents 20% of general fund revenues, which is a lower amount than an end percentage than in the 2015-17 biennium when over $1.1 billion in oil revenue was used. The $1 billion of general fund oil tax revenue is a conservative and sustainable amount. It's exactly on the average of what we've used the last four bienniums. And when prices crashed during the 2015-17 biennium, the state still collected $2.9 billion overall in oil tax revenue. For the upcoming biennium, with the new forecast, the recommended oil tax revenue for the general fund of $1 billion represents only approximately one-fifth of the forecasted oil revenues. Working as one, we engaged in reinventing our budgeting approach to include a comprehensive strategic planning review process. Under this framework, strategy drove budget versus budget driving strategy. Last spring, we conducted 57 strategy reviews with the participation and strong work of our institutions and agencies and elected officials. And from this foundation, we have prepared a strategic budget that delivers for the people of North Dakota. Taking a critical look at prioritizing expenditures, we called for base reductions of 5 to 10%, depending on agency size. We also asked agencies to reduce FTE levels by 5%. Agencies were asked to identify work they could stop doing to free up people and financial resources that could be reinvested in priorities. These are difficult trade-offs, but the ideas generated in these strategic sessions identified more than $107 million in savings, and $101 million of that savings was strategically prioritized and reinvested for new and ongoing initiative. This budget also balances our ongoing revenues and expenses and builds our reserves while strategically investing in our economy, in our workforce, and in the well-being of our people. This budget promotes responsible stewardship of our financial resources, encourages innovation and investment, and strategically does it all without raising taxes. This biennium, we must return to matching ongoing spending with ongoing revenues to achieve structural balance in the general fund. By law, as you all know, we're required in North Dakota to have a balanced budget. However, ongoing revenues have not always covered ongoing expenses. In this budget, we were intentional about ensuring that ongoing expenses match our ongoing revenues. The last two biennials had substantial general fund revenue shortfalls that were covered by transfers. This imbalance between our ongoing general fund revenues and our expenses negatively affects our state's bond rating, which can have secondary effects on the many local political subdivisions that bond. North Dakotans balance their checking accounts, and so too should state government. Achieving a structural balance will benefit all North Dakotans in that it will help improve our bond rating. This executive budget proposes $14.3 billion in overall revenue and expenditures. This includes $4.6 billion in ongoing general fund and $300 million of spending of legacy fund earnings. Legacy fund earnings by law must first be deposited in the general fund before it can be invested. Not a single dollar of legacy fund principal is spent in this budget. And again, let me make that very clear. Not a single dollar of legacy fund principal is spent in this budget. Additionally, $3.7 billion in federal funds and $5.6 billion in special funds make up the remainder of our overall funding sources. Overall, expenditures of $3.2 billion will support Team North Dakota through salary and benefit investments. $2.6 billion will fund operating expenses, and nearly half, $7 billion, will be distributed through formulas and grants to areas such as K-12 education, Medicaid, and essential infrastructure, directly benefiting citizens and political subdivisions. The remaining $1.5 billion allows for significant and game-changing long-term investments in capital assets. In sum, nearly 70% of our total budget goes to support health and human services and education. And within the smaller general fund, these services make up nearly 80% of the recommended appropriation. So in our budget, as we move from a $4.3 billion general fund to a $4.6 billion general fund, and after all the strategic reviews and reinvestment and reinvention, where did the money go? Most of the $330 million of recommended increase in our ongoing general fund expenditures is related to just three items. First, education, health, and human services and salaries. The first, $135 million of this $330 million increase is driven by the cost to continue in caring for our most vulnerable citizens, an essential activity of government. $104 million is a direct result of the increased per pupil payments and the increase in the number of K-12 students we serve. There are 3,000 more K-12 students in North Dakota this year than last year. And $78 million of the increase in ongoing expenditures is the general fund portion of the overall $180 million in proposed salary and benefit increases. So as you can see, trying to keep a lid on general fund spending and moving it from only 4.3 to 4.6 is difficult when we're driven by so much formulaic spending. Our goal was to fund our priorities in a responsible way, replenish our reserves, and spend less than our ongoing revenues. Again, we have done that in this budget without raising taxes. Fiscal responsibility means more than just balancing a checkbook, however. And given our revenues remain largely dependent on commodity prices we cannot control, we absolutely, positively must replenish our reserves. Thanks to the wisdom of prior legislative action to create a framework for savings, any amount in excess of a $65 million that may end up in the general fund ending balance is automatically deposited into the budget stabilization fund. The new revenue forecast projects that the budget stabilization fund will receive $312 million at the end of this biennium. So that would be $312
million. More of the governor's budget address is coming up on What's on Your Mind.
We want to know what's on your mind. So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
If your business is thinking about a new location or looking to upgrade your office furniture and design layout, there's one place you should talk to for sure. InterOffice Workspace Furniture. They have knowledgeable experts trained in the fields of workspace design for healthcare, higher ed, government settings, and they can do ergonomic assessments of your current workspace or plan space. Not only that, the team of designers at InterOffice have interior design degrees, which helps them know the health and safety challenges of the building you are in or moving into, so they can help design your space to be efficient, collaborative, functional, and safe. Being the exclusive Herman Miller dealer for the state of North Dakota gives them access to research about workspace settings and what works well for your type of industry or business. The team at InterOffice works closely with you on the project from beginning to end. So if you are thinking about moving or upgrading your workspace, talk to InterOffice Workspace in Fargo and Bismarck or go online to InterOfficeND.com.
USA Radio News.
The Washington National Cathedral is starting to fill up for the funeral of late President George H.W. Bush. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice tells Fox News today is a big day for the country.
I was fortunate to be on his National Security Council staff, And he really is the epitome of a public servant. He taught me a lot about how to be a public servant.
Granddaughter Barbara Bush Pierce tells NBC's Today Show she's heard a lot of great stories about her grandfather since his passing.
Shocked by how many people have some memory of meeting him somewhere and how they found him funny or how loving he was or how personable he was. And that's a really wonderful gift to us.
Although the official start of winter is still a few weeks away, temperatures across the country are dropping. Parts of every single state are expected to see below freezing temperatures either today or tomorrow morning. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Back to What's in Your Mind and back to North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum's budget address.
The child and family services, particularly in behavioral health. Combined with specific policy recommendations, this funding will come with greater flexibility to specialized services, thereby increasing efficiency. The state must incorporate innovative technologies to better serve our citizens. We must do a better job of safeguarding citizens' personal information, the state's financial assets, and deploying new technology to enhance the citizen experience and government performance. In this, we propose two changes to our approaches to information technology. First, through a process called IT unification, which is not IT consolidation, but unification, where we move towards consistent platforms for development and consistent approaches. We recommend aligning 145 FTEs from 17 cabinet agencies into one shared IT service, but we'll maintain the physical presence of those IT professionals within the agencies. But we have an opportunity to reduce redundancy, streamline operations, and improve standardization. Today, we have over 800 legacy systems in our state that we're trying to maintain. We have 170-plus websites, none of which interconnect. There's much work and progress and benefits that can be achieved through unification. Cyber threats to our state's financial assets and citizens' data are growing daily. Attempted disruptions from hacktivists, which are hackers that try to disrupt for social or political reasons, organized criminal activity like ransomware, and persistent attacks from foreign nation states are the new status quo for states, university systems, and large municipalities. We only have to look as recently as last week and to see another attack on Marriott, which released over $500 million personal records. It is nearly impossible and completely full of risk for us to continue the approach that we have. There are over 400 organizations in our state that are connected to our statewide network, StageNet. Each of these own organizations cannot be separately responsible for trying to maintain cybersecurity. Each one of those access points represents a threat or a door that's open that could lead to access violations for all of the things that we manage across the state. We will centralize our approach to cybersecurity to be more coordinated, intelligent, and effective in managing the identities of those on our systems and protecting our data and our financial resources. By implementing this approach, we'll go from just 22% of the executive branch managed under a central cyber defense to 78%. We need to get to 100 at some point, but this is a great step forward. Getting there to this step will require an investment of $16.4 million. Even one breach or one financial attack could cost us far more. In today's world, this is a necessary and essential investment. Across every department, we explored realigning functions and improving services. A few quick examples. Office of Management Budget proposes a statewide litigation pool to consolidate litigation pools across numerous budgets to provide efficiency and coordination and reduce duplication in funding for unseen legal costs. The Suicide Prevention Program, which is doing great work, is currently housed in the Health Department, will transfer to the Department of Human Services, where it will complement the existing Behavioral Health Division. And to better support tribal social services, we propose $2.9 million of general funds to expand access to support for caregivers of children in the care of tribal social services. This proposal will ensure that families of children on tribal lands will have the same access to the same supports received by families with children who live in other parts of the state, creating a consistent statewide policy. This budget authorizes 15,673 FTEs, which includes higher education. We will spend, in this biennium, $3.2 billion on compensation and benefits. Understanding the scope that people costs are the highest cost in most organizations, this is why we need to have a reinvented approach to how we think about human resources with a chief people officer, with recruiting, with leadership training and development positions for trying to lead and manage this kind of expense. In the current biennium, the state invested $45 million to cover the 100% of the increase in health care costs for all team members. And while we were unable in the current biennium to provide raises, the state stepped forward with that $45 million investment. We are proposing a $180 million investment increase in compensation benefits for the current biennium. Of that increase, $112 million is proposed for salaries. This recommended increase in compensation also authorizes performance-based increases for high-performing team members. Agency and institution salary budgets are increased by 4% for the first year of the biennium and an additional 2% for the second year. Agencies that can identify long-term salary savings equal to 2% will be authorized to provide an additional 2% for salary increases in the second year, bringing the total authorized salary increase to 4% for each year, or 4 and 4. For health insurance, the state is covering a 12.7% increase in health insurance premiums at a cost of $59 million, up from the $45 million last biennium. At the same time, we also propose new health options for team members, health insurance options. Option one continues the existing main plan with no changes to deductibles or coinsurance, but would require an employee to contribute $28 a month. Option two is a new state-paid health plan that, as a non-grandfather plan, offers expanded benefits. Option three is an existing plan, existing high-deductible plan, but we will offer new incentives for participation. Finally, we propose increasing both state and team member contributions to the retirement fund by 1%, or roughly $9 million per biennium. This match increase contribution will also make a difference in moving us towards the long-term solvency of our pension plan. Altogether, this $180 million increase in the total compensation package investing in Team North Dakota, these investments are essential for us to attract and retain the talent we need to deliver the services that North Dakotans expect. Building workforce is a key pillar of the Main Street Initiative. We have met in their communities with 45 different communities across the state as part of the Main Street Initiative. There certainly is a growing awareness that economic development is no longer just about job creation. It's about building healthy, vibrant communities that can attract and retain families to fulfill their workforce needs. We revitalized the 32-member Workforce Development Council and commissioned a statewide survey to identify obstacles to filling the estimated 30,000 jobs open across North Dakota. Workforce shortages are the number one gating factor to economic growth in North Dakota. A number of the council's recommendations are included in our budget. We propose investing $30 million in a competitive grant cycle for career academies requiring a one-to-one match from the private sector or political subdivisions. That means if a political subdivision like a city or a local public school district would contribute, they could qualify for the state match. According to the North Dakota Workforce Survey, 70% of the jobs available in North Dakota require an associate degree or less. Career academies can help move North Dakota youth into the workforce and lower their cost of college. Right here in Bismarck, with an enrollment of nearly 1,400 students, the Bismarck Career Academy is a successful example of providing high-quality education for high-wage, high-demand technical careers that align with post-secondary education. We need more career academies everywhere across our state. We also recommend investing $2 million into the workforce development initiatives, including $950,000 to refocus the Operation Intern program to support local businesses throughout the state. The budget dedicates $750,000 to addressing the nursing shortage by providing matching funds for rural health facilities seeking to add rural health care education in their local communities. Another $250,000 will be allocated to grants to support giving students early exposure to North Dakota careers. And finally, we propose $3 million to address in the marketing to address talent attraction and retention challenges throughout our state. With 7,500 high school graduates in North Dakota and more than 30,000 jobs open, we must both retain and attract workers by promoting our high quality of life. And let's also keep in mind, there's low employment all over this entire country. We're competing for people to come and move to North Dakota to fill our jobs against other states. Workforce and education go hand in hand as we prepare for today's students for tomorrow's economy. 46% of the general fund budget goes to K-12 and higher education, underscoring our state's huge commitment to its students and our collective future. At the K-12 level, our budget increases per student payments by 2% a year. In the second year of the biennium, this will take us to a record $10,036. Our recommendation also begins to transition over the next 5 years the roughly half of our districts that are not yet on the statewide formula. Some schools continue to receive transition subsidy payments based on the amount that they received in 2012 and 2013. This is creating substantial disparities between districts. School aid spending in our budget increases by $115.5 million and does this more sustainably with $103.5 million coming from the general fund. It's also time that we move closer to on-time funding for our K-12 schools. Our budget recommends a blended approach, paying districts for the first half of the year using the prior year's enrollment and the remainder of the year on their certified fall enrollment. This timing change retains more support than a full year on-time funding for districts with declining enrollment, while providing much-needed funds to those districts with growing enrollment. In support of our strategic initiative to transform education, our budget appropriates up to $10 million to create the Teacher Incentives for Leadership in Education, or TILE, to ensure the state intentionally invests in district initiatives aligned with student-centric instruction. A targeted pool of funds will be designated to support locally driven innovation and teacher leadership. These leadership incentives should not be confused with merit pay, which is based off of past performance and often heavily reliant on standard test results. The TILE dollars must be invested in professional development or used to provide project-based incentives one time for current teachers, providing career track opportunities for them to develop their skills. We will fund and recommend funding that the TILE is funded with unspent school aid money appropriated for the current 17-19 biennium up to $10 million, and we expect that money will be there at the end of this biennium.
Governor Doug Burgum's budget address continues, and we'll have more coverage coming up right after a quick break, as we do what the governor would do if he owned the radio station and get some high-paying advertisers and supporters on. Here we go.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Let's go to Norway with a professional. My name is Carol Juven. I have been in Norway 174 times and had over 49,000 people with me on tour during the past 50 years. Come and join me on the beautiful Best of Norway tour, August 12th through the 24th, 2019. See Norway at its best. There is a fjord in your future. Hundreds of waterfalls and the beautiful, spectacular mountains. We don't just tour Norway. We meet the people. Phone me toll free, 1-800-343-0093, and I'll send you a complete packet of information on the tours that we offer to Norway. Again, August 12th through the 24th, 2019. Call 1-800-343-0093. 1-800-343-0093. Welcome along.
Did you know you now get more speed with new Speedrower SP windrowers from your Northern Region New Holland dealers? New Holland's new high-speed transport option gives you road speeds up to 24 miles per hour, the fastest in the industry. So you spend less time on the road and more time cutting crop. And there's no need to swivel your seat with New Holland, so you get the same industry-leading visibility and comfort you have when working in the field. See the Speedrower SP windrower at your local Northern Region New Holland dealer.
Wind energy is one of the fastest growing energy sectors in North Dakota and has invested over $3 billion here. The growth of this low-cost resource in our energy mix helps keep electricity prices here among the lowest in the country. A 200-megawatt wind farm pays nearly $300,000 annually in property taxes. Those dollars flow to our communities for schools and emergency services. Wind energy. Low-cost, reliable, good for landowners and our communities. Supporting all of the above energy policy for North Dakota. This message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions and dforallenergy.org.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Left before the hour, it's What's in Your Mind. Ron Ness in for Scott Hannon, and Governor Doug Burgum continues.
Access to effective community-based health service through the Free Through the Recovery program. To continue building on that progress, our budget recommends an additional $4.5 million from the general fund to expand access to the program, extending it beyond the criminal justice system to others, individuals in our communities. We also propose investing an additional $3.1 million to expand access to substance use disorder voucher service and supports. And to help people move out of the criminal justice system and into the workforce, we propose an additional $2.6 million for expanding treatment and programming in the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. At the same time, we will continue funding for Medicaid expansion while streamlining the administration and reducing the fee schedule to match traditional Medicaid rates. The changes to administration and reimbursement will free up over $20 million in general funds, which we'll reinvest in access to behavioral health services as described above. We also need to invest in home and community-based services for older adults and persons with physical disabilities. Our budget recommends more than $6 million in additional funding for several initiatives that will promote care close to home. And as we expand community-based services, we're also committed to improving the quality of our institutional services. These act as a safety net for our at-risk individuals from across the state. Now is also the time for us to step forward and build a new behavioral health state hospital and clinic in Jamestown with $35 million from the legacy fund earnings. This will allow us to repurpose the existing state hospital as a minimum custody correctional facility for men. In turn, we'll relocate the women's prison services from New England to the Missouri River Correctional Center south of Bismarck. Together, these changes will allow for consolidation of facilities and more efficient operations. North Dakota is doubly blessed with abundant natural resources of our strong agriculture and energy sectors, enabling our economic growth. This budget dedicates nearly $200 million for continued research in agriculture, oil and gas, and lignite, all of which are key drivers of our economy. We're so fortunate in North Dakota to have the capital resources to invest in our infrastructure that is necessary for a prosperous future. For critical infrastructure, we've included investments totaling nearly $1.5 billion, $815 million for roads, $464 million for one bucket of essential water projects under the State Water Commission, and $22 million for airport infrastructure. This total also includes $174 million for technology investments, the critical infrastructure of the 21st century. This number includes 24 significant IT projects supporting 19 agencies and will improve public safety, citizen government interactions in the DOT and other agencies, and voter integrity in the Secretary of State's office. Affordable housing is a challenge in many parts of our state, and we recommend investing $20 million in the Housing Incentive Fund. This will support construction of affordable multifamily housing, aiding our ability to develop and retain workforce and build healthy, vibrant communities. As we announced last week at Senator Hoban's tech conference, we're recommending $3 million for infrastructure at Grand Sky, the nation's only unmanned aerial systems business park. And finally, in recognition of our number one trading partner and neighbor to the north, and national ally, we propose investing $5 million in the namesake of our state, the International Peace Garden. These funds are contingent on a one-to-one match from other sources, including philanthropy and or the province of Manitoba or the Canadian federal government. We're also extremely grateful that the voters of North Dakota and their representatives in the Legislative Assembly had the wisdom and the foresight to create the Legacy Fund. The earnings from the Legacy Fund will enable and catalyze large dollar projects that have a state or national impact and produce lasting value for our citizens. As we've been thoughtful about creating our list of legacy projects, we've also looked for projects that could have a multiplier effect where there's enthusiasm from other sources of funding, which can help multiply the impact of those dollars. So in addition to the exciting legacy projects that we've already introduced today, we propose three additional legacy projects that will generate tremendous return on investment for the people of North Dakota. First, when we announced in our recommendation for $30 million to build out a statewide infrastructure network for unmanned aircraft system, or UAS, this tracking network would serve as an air traffic control system for UAS flying beyond visual line of sight. This investment will ensure that North Dakota retains the advantage we have now as a first mover in UAS, and it will retain our lead as America's proving ground for UAS while supporting commercial operations, including automated farming and precision agriculture. Additionally, we propose $55 million for an infrastructure revolving loan fund that political subdivisions can use to fund important improvements and new projects that provide smart and efficient infrastructure in their communities. plus $25 million in additional investment to the school construction revolving loan fund. Together, these investments can be leveraged to drive $535 million in construction. Finally, when we think about legacy, it's hard to imagine any individual who embodies the North Dakota spirit more than Theodore President Roosevelt. To honor his life and legacy, we propose investing $50 million of legacy fund earnings in the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum and leveraging this investment in a 2-to-1 private match. It's truly an incredible...
Wrap on another What's on Your Mind. So the governor with some spending projects coming out. Going to be interesting to see how that flies through.
Lot of discussion on the legacy fund earnings as we project.
No summer is complete without a trip to Medora. Folks, get there and get there quick because summer's slipping away. Here's Justin to tell us a little bit about what's new in Medora. And there's a lot, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely, Scott. You not only have to see the new Medora musical with a big patriotic finale, but in downtown Medora, we have new shows like Todd Oliver and his talking dog, Carl and Greta's cowboy sing-along for girls and boys to have a little fun, and man, even a wonderful work show about Harold Schaefer. There's a ton of new stuff in downtown Medora. You have to stay a few nights.
The famous Medora musical, the greatest show in the West always. It is a must-see, and with summer slipping away, just make plans to get there and take that in and everything else, including some of those great new things that Justin is telling you about, too. 1-800-MEDORA-1 is the number to call for tickets. 1-800-MEDORA-1 or go online to Medora.com. Thanks, Justin.
Bully
for Medora.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.